From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, a big week in politics with a big debate in California tonight. We'll look at the race in one New Jersey district that Republicans are hoping to hold on to.
But first, world leaders are gathered in Newport, Wales for the NATO summit. And while Ukraine and ISIS top the agenda, this morning President Obama, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron, and several others met to talk about Afghanistan, which has an unresolved presidential election, a troubled economy, and an ever-violent Taliban. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said NATO is proud of what it's achieved in Afghanistan. Forces have done what they pledged to do there, that is, deny a safe haven to terrorists and build up capable Afghan forces. Is that true? And what's next? NPR's Kabul correspondent Sean Carberry is in Afghanistan. Sean, welcome as always.
Thanks, Robin.
And set the scene a little bit more there in Afghanistan. You know, people's gaze has been on Iraq with a lot of violence there, on, of course, Ukraine, on ISIS. What is the general tone in Afghanistan?
Well, Afghanistan's been simmering for the last several months in the wake of the presidential election that still remains unresolved. And it's threatened to boil over several times. It hasn't, but there's still a persistent fear. And it stems from the fact that one of the candidates, Abdullah Abdullah, rejected the results, saying there was industrial-scale fraud against him. That resulted in Secretary of State Kerry coming in to broker a deal between Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani, who agreed to a complete audit of all the ballots cast and to negotiate a political deal to create a unity government. But as of right now, the audit is still not finished, and political talks over the unity government have not been going well. Supporters of Abdullah have threatened to occupy government buildings. So it's been a very anxious few months here, and people are still very concerned that there's no resolution to the election.
Well, we're hearing the NATO Secretary General say that NATO forces there have denied a safe haven to terrorists. Has this instability in the country, though, opened up an opportunity for the Taliban?
We've seen a significant increase in large-scale Taliban offensives over the course of this summer. Cases where hundreds, sometimes even more than 1,000 Taliban have gathered, have staged attacks on districts around the country. And the belief is that there are a couple reasons for that. One is they're exploiting the political vacuum of this election and the focus on all of that. Two is the fact that NATO and U.S. troops continue to draw down and Afghan forces are on the lead, so the Taliban are testing Afghan forces. And another factor is that there's less air power from NATO here. In the past, the Taliban feared airstrikes, so they would not mass in large numbers to stage these kinds of attacks that we're seeing. It's been a very bloody summer for Afghan forces and civilians. Both are experiencing record levels of casualties right now.
Well, again, talks are going on with NATO leaders, but there is a plan to significantly reduce NATO and U.S. involvement by the end of this year. So if you were a fly on the wall in that room, what do you think you'd be hearing?
Well, the plan has been in place for quite some time. And if a new president is inaugurated sometime soon and does sign a security agreement with the U.S. and a new status of forces agreement with NATO, there will be somewhere around 15,000 troops staying beyond this year to continue training Afghan forces. The question simply is, when will there be a new president who can sign these agreements? And will they get signed in time that the U.S. and NATO countries can transition to this new mission? Because if it doesn't get signed within the next month or two, they're going to have to plan for a complete withdrawal. And then the question is, can they turn back around and leave troops if they don't sign this agreement in a reasonable time frame?
Well, meanwhile, because of all this uncertainty, there's no president of Afghanistan at these talks. The invitation went to Karzai, who was president at the time. But a defense minister is representing Afghanistan at these NATO talks. That's a terrible symbol.
And it's a symbol for Afghans here of the fact that the election remains unresolved. And so there's quite a lot of anxiety here that if there isn't a president in time, that the foreign troops would withdraw completely, and with the troops go the money that's supporting the Afghan military. I mean, foreign money is propping up the entire military and most of the government. So that's another source of anxiety among Afghans. will the money stay? NATO has tried to be as reassuring as possible, as has the United States, saying they will remain committed, they will continue with their funding and support, but it's another source of anxiety. And the economy, for that matter, has seen a huge devastation over the course of this year. Investment has frozen. Shopkeepers, everyone you talk to says business is down, and it's all because of the uncertainty over the election.
Sean, one last thing before you go. We're hearing that there's been divisions within Taliban and that some of the Taliban has expressed interest in joining ISIS. What are you seeing on the ground there?
Well, what we've heard most recently is a member of the militant group Hizbi Islami, which is allied with the Taliban but still separate. And this member was saying that Hizbi Islami was considering joining with ISIS. We haven't seen anything definitive from the Taliban, nothing that demonstrates any type of organizational tie or anything beyond that. As you point out, there are still divisions within the Taliban. There's a military faction that believes it needs to continue fighting, keep pressuring the government, and it will gain more through military activities. And then there are those more moderate Taliban who still believe that they will have a bigger piece of the country in the future through a political process rather than continuing to fight.
NPR's Kabul correspondent there in Afghanistan, Sean Carberry. Thank you as always, Sean.
You're welcome, Robin.